The Business of Marketing podcast is brought to you by Demand Exchange. Demand Exchange provides the technology, content, and expertise to identify and acquire your next ideal customer. Season 2, Episode 11 features Kirsty Fraser, Senior Director of International and Lifecycle Marketing at Movable Inc., in conversation with Michael Nutley.
Hi, welcome to the Business of Marketing podcast at Advertising Week Europe. I'm joined by Kirsty Fraser, who's Senior Director of International and Lifecycle Marketing at Movable Inc. Welcome, Kirsty.
Hi, thank you.
So maybe just as a little amuse-bouche, why don't you start us off by telling us a bit about yourself, your career, and what you do now?
Okay, so I've been in B2B marketing, I'm just going to say a very long time, so no one can work out my age, okay? But many years, plus 15, shall we say. that's as far as I'll tell you. But in that time, I've had a variety of roles, but I think one area that I've focused on in the past few years and that I really, really love and am passionate about is within SaaS, marketing SaaS, marketing to marketers. That's a big passion of mine. But also I've been very much focused on regional marketing, so growing those companies, US-based companies, and growing them into Europe and further beyond as well, like growing into Australia and Asia and everything like that. So that's been my big focus. I've been at Movable Inc. for 6 years now. And my role is, as you say, so I look after international marketing. So everything outside of the US, I am responsible for growing the company. And I also have the lifecycle team, which is a new team I acquired last year. And we are looking at the whole client journey from the top of the funnel prospect researching us right through to them being a client advocate, but very much focused on that experience across email, as that is our bread and butter as a company as well.
Yeah, so maybe that's a good place to start is to talk a bit more about what Movable Inc. does, a bit of history, sort of clients you work for.
Yep. So Movable Inc. is very much focused on personalization, and we activate our clients' data to create personalized content for across your customer experiences. And basically what we do is we personalize the creative within your emails and across mobile, and we use that through AI and automation.
And for whom do you do this?
So we work very much with global enterprise companies, specifically like our biggest industries are across retail, travel, FinServe, and think the likes of Tesco, Boots, Estee Lauder, Accor, big brands like that.
And can you give me an example of the sort of thing you've done for one of those clients?
I'll give the one that kind of everybody knows and loves, and it happens once a year. But you know that every year Spotify launch the year in review, and everyone talks about it, and it's a big thing. It actually started with Movable Inc. It started in email, and we did a year in review for them, and then it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And we do that for a lot of our clients now. And I think that's one of the things that we really love and we really own is that ability to kind of activate your data so someone can really see how they are engaging with your brand and what they have delivered for you over the past year as well. So year in reviews, I think, would be the one that people would probably relate to the most.
Yeah, sure. No, I love that. Yeah. It's one of my favorite things about Spotify.
It's incredible, yeah.
So talk me through it. How does it actually work? What do you guys get from Spotify? What do you then do for them?
Well, I think it really depends on the client as to what they want to achieve. Like, what is important to them, and what do they want to show their customers, and how they've been engaging and interacting with their brand. So think of an airline, and it might be that you want to show them how many points they've got, that they prefer the window seat. date, and things like that. And you can just bring that into, and you can just activate that data from any of their technology partners. So we work with many, many different partners to make sure that we can like pull all that content in. We can also pull, obviously, contextual stuff. So we can bring in the weather within the email. So if you're going on holiday, then you'll know what the weather's going to be at the other end, so you know how to pack. Or if you are a brand like Tesco and it's going to be sunny at the weekend, and you can make sure you're delivering like an email that's, you know, relative to how that person is, the weather the person is going to be experiencing at the weekend, like barbecues, things like that.
Cool. So, and does this work for brands that are sort of what we might call data poor, so CPG brands, as well as kind of the data rich?
Yes, because I think you can pull, it's, as I say, it's how you want to use your data, whatever you have, or however they've interacted with your brand, you can pull that in and personalize the content to all that. You can just do name personalization if you only have their first name. So I think it's a really powerful thing that I think Starbucks did it in their email, where they wrote the name on the coffee cup. And just it's just a really nice name personalization at the top. Or other ways that you can do it is, as I say, the weather, that's obviously not like contingent on having too much data. So you can really start small, but then you can also start collecting that data. So we do things like polls. So if you want to collect that information about your clients, you want to understand, maybe you want to ask them whether they like shoes or boots, for example, you can collect that data and then you can start serving up content that's relevant to them. So you can do it in small ways and grow. And I think it's very much a journey, and we can help take you on that journey to how you get to that true one-to-one personalization. Everyone's got to start somewhere collecting that data, and we all know how difficult it is. And I think that's the power of Moveable Inc, is being able to help you to acquire that data and then really deliver it in personalized ways that's relevant for your customers.
Yeah, I think that's really important, isn't it? When you're personalizing, or when you're collecting data to personalize, to actually feed that personalization back for people to feel like they're getting you know something for.
Yeah.
For their data.
Exactly. It's like, why should I transact my personal information to you if you're not going to do it in a way that's relevant to me? And I think it's about building that trust of showing, okay, we are going to collect that data, but we're going to use it in a way that is relevant and timely for you and how you want that to be delivered to you as well.
How much of what you do is consultancy then? How much of it is sort of saying, actually, no, you don't, you know, don't do it like that. Do it like this.
So we have a client experience team that work day to day with our clients and help, and you know, and work with them on that, you know, how they're using their email and what they want to do, and they can advise. But we also have a strategy team, and that strategy team work with our big clients to really look at what their goals are and then build out a plan for them to how we can kind of get them to their goals as well. So it's taking it further than just being like, oh yeah, this is what we do and we can put this block in an email and that's personalized, to being like, okay, so as a goal, as a CMO, this is what you want to do and this is how we can help you get there and support you to get there. And that's they can work very closely with our strategy team on that.
Excellent. I'm intrigued by part of your job title, the lifestyle part.
Life cycle. I always say lifestyle, and I introduce my team member as lifestyle. I was like, whoops, no, it's life cycle. but yes, so this is, as I say, a newly formed team. And I think you get in B2C world, you get life cycle is a role that you see a lot, but you don't see it as much in B2B. Now, obviously, we work with B2C clients all the time, and I feel very privileged because I work with some of the biggest, smartest marketers in the world, and so we get to learn from them. And I wanted to build out a team that really truly look at what that journey is for our clients, to really support them along the way at every single touch point. And we're only very early in the stages of this. So we're probably more focused on the top of the funnel right now, because we have a very good client program already in place. But I have lots of ideas in how we kind of get to those next steps. But at this moment in time, we really want to understand that journey from like researching us when we don't know about you, right through to like you becoming a client and what that looks like and how we can support from marketing at each step of the way.
Right, so almost kind of drinking your own Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I know, it's exciting.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, you're in quite a, I guess, quite a privileged position because you're seeing both sides of the of the equation. How do you think B2B marketing has changed in recent years, and what sort of opportunities does that create for you, and what are the pain points that you see among your clients?
So I think B2B marketing probably had this stuffier image, I would say, that we were very corporate, and I think we kind of forgot that there's a human at the end of that communication. And the more I meet our clients, the more I realize they're just like me, and we have conversations about marketing, but we also talk about getting Taylor Swift concert tickets and things like that. And I think it's okay to be human in B2B marketing and, you know, lose that. Obviously, we don't want to be not professional, but you can be a bit more relaxed about how we can do it and realize that actually humans buy from humans. It's actually they want to build that relationship and trust with you as well. So I think the biggest learning I've taken from our clients is obviously they're always marketing to an individual. And that's what I have been learning. And actually, we haven't really used Movable Ink a lot until now. And we're bringing that into, because it's not a B2B tool traditionally, but we're bringing that into our marketing. And I am so excited to kind of go on this journey to see how we can be more personalized to the individual that is working with us as much as we are to the company that we're trying to target as well.
Right. And because this goes right to the heart of quite a lot of the big decisions about B2B marketing, particularly, you know, personalizing to a buying committee is a huge challenge. You know, working out who the buying committee is, you know, what they're all interested in, and then addressing them, you know,
individually.
Mm. You know, how are you thinking about that?
We're doing a big data clear up at the minute. And I think, you know, when I look at where we are as a company in the B2B world, I always think, are we behind? Because you see all these tools coming out and people are doing different things. And I'm like, are we just not doing enough? But actually, when you talk to other B2B marketers, everyone's in the same position. They're like, data and this and that. And, you know, we're just trying to get to this point where we really understand who our audience are. So I think, yes, I think the one of the things that we're doing at the moment as a really big project is cleaning up our data and getting to a point where we're building out our email nurtures to talk to those different audiences and building out that journey, which we've kind of done a little bit, but we really haven't dug into it. And we've probably been 8 months now buried in data, setting the foundations. And it's been frustrating because we haven't really been able to prove too much about what we've done. But the impact is going to be shown this year of how we've really cleaned up those processes. We've worked so closely with our RevOps team, our Salesforce team. We've worked closely with sales and our outbound team to really understand what their pain points are so that we can then bring all that learning into how we can start delivering a marketing program that's aligned to what they need, and look at all those different personas and build out each path for each of those personas and talk to them on a level that is, these are your pain points as a CMO, these are yours as a director, and this is yours as, you know, the practitioner marketing manager role. But also, we know this about you as an individual, and we're really bringing that into the marketing for you, and we're going to start learning that through doing polls and you know, meeting them at events and understanding how they want to interact with our brand. So it's been a lot of work, but once we get there and we've got that data in the right place, I think we're going to be able to really deliver a different type of email program to them.
That's really interesting because so much of the conversation that I have is dominated by people who are trying to who are still in that stage, you know, they're still rationalizing their data, you know, and it's sort of, it's almost, you know, dismissed at times when, you know, people talk about AI.
Yeah.
They sort of go, well, you know, yeah, but of course you've got to get your data sorted out first, as if that's something that happens, you know, over the weekend.
Yes.
I'm sure a lot of people will be very reassured that you know, that they're also, that you're also you know, in the weeds of it and have been for 8 months.
Definitely. And we were just, you know, going back to lead scoring the other day. And I was like, we can't actually go to where we want to unless we've got this in place and the data, like, into a point where we are truly understanding and routing it correctly and all these other things that you can get so caught up in. But I was like, it's so important that we set the foundations and we can do all that lovely stuff you're talking about and really start showing the intent of our buyers and then deliver this journey that's absolutely personalized to them and how they want to get there as well.
One of the interesting things, I mean, I'd be interested in getting to know whether you agree with this or not, is this idea that people don't want to engage. B2B marketers, you know, want to engage much later in the buying process, or in fact, you know, in their buying process than they used to. You know, they used to sort of happily phone a salesperson to chat about things. Now they go away, they do all the research online, and what's it, Gartner say you've got, you know, was it 5% of their time of their customer journey is with the sales team. Is that something you've experienced? Do you feel that you can sort of with this approach you're outlining, you can sort of start that relationship sooner?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. And I think, you know, it is like no one picks up the phone anymore, do they? Like when you talk about being like when our BDRs say, and I phone them, it's like, whoa, it's like a big thing. Yeah, you phone someone. So it's a very different world right now. And yes, so much research is done before they even start having a conversation. And whether that's the conversation is an email, you know, or they do an inquiry online. And it's really challenging. And so there's lots of tools out there that we are exploring right now to show intent signals. And I think it's about knowing where to be present for your buyers, getting to be in front of them, getting that communicated out prior to them even engaging or going to our website is a massive challenge. So a lot of what I'm talking about is when they're known to us. The unknown piece is really challenging. But we do as much as we can. We use we build client advocates, so they're out there talking for us. And I think that is a huge thing, is actually making sure your clients are happy so they talk to you, because marketing can be a really small world. It is a small world and they move a lot. So someone that you're talking to now might not be the right fit, but if they have a great experience with your brand, they're going to think about you when they maybe go to another company and they have got a budget and they're looking at bringing on a similar tool. I think the biggest thing, and I think in terms of this is like the ABM piece, and it's about understanding intent and being able to really aggregate that data and then use that in what I'm talking about, which is that real personalized path. But you have to kind of understand when they're in the time frame to buy and then start reaching out to them when they're showing that intent. And that is a real challenge, but there are enough tools out there at the moment. I think that we're using them in small ways at the moment and trying to understand which one's the right one for us. But there are ways of getting to that point and also targeting that audience through third parties as well, which is what we do a lot of.
Yeah, I was interested in what you were just saying about sort of client advocates. That's almost like influencers for the B2B.
Exactly.
B2B industry, isn't it? Yeah.
Happy clients are the ones out there, you know, they're going to talk up your brand. Also unhappy clients are also.
Well, yeah.
So you've got all your review platforms and things like that. And I think that's something that we've just done in our DAC region for Germany, really using reviews. And that's been so powerful for us for in a newer region when we're still trying to build our brand. Having our clients actually advocate for us on review sites is a really powerful way to get your brand out there and to get people being, well, maybe I should be talking to these people. They've got very good reviews.
Yeah. So looking forward, what's getting you excited, you know, as you look around the marketplace, what are the opportunities that you see emerging in the new landscape?
I think you've mentioned it, and obviously, you know, everyone is mentioning it, but I think AI still represents a huge opportunity and one that I'm still learning about. And actually, again, this is one of the things, like, it boomed onto the market last year and everyone panicked and everyone was like, I've got AI in my tool, you know, like AI washing, I think someone called it the other day. And because everyone wanted to be on this buzz. But I feel like this year it's kind of, it's going into that grown up, even though it's been about for many years, but it's kind of going into that grown up period where everyone's like, okay, let's take a step back and be a little bit more thoughtful about this. And I think that's what makes it so exciting. Like last year, many marketers were fearful. It's like, is this going to take my job? And I think it's about embracing these new technologies. You don't have to use it, but you do have to understand it. And you do need to understand if there is a place for it in the world that you're in at the moment and how you should be using it as well. So I'm only exploring it in small worlds in terms of small ways in terms of my world. So ways of just trying to get rid of those boring admin tasks at the moment. So meeting notes, you know, summarizing meeting notes or a presentation or, you know, what I always call banish the blank. So if I need to write something, a blog post, and I just don't know where to start, is giving it some talking points and then, you know, and then using that as like a way to springboard to writing it myself. I certainly don't let it write it for me. But yes, I think it's one of those where I see a lot of people exploring it in a more sensible, less fearful way now, and really trying to understand how that can enhance our industry. And I think it can. One way that I want to look into a little bit more is we have an outbounding team. We know who our target audience are, our ICP. And so we very much focus on that. However, there is always ones that come in that don't fit. And we don't have enough people power to be able to kind of cope with that. And, you know, sometimes slip through the net. But I feel like there's a way that you can use AI to kind of do that initial outbounding outreach. And just kind of find the gold where we might not go looking for it sometimes. So that's something that I'm kind of exploring at the moment. But yes, I think the main thing about that is educating yourself and just being aware, because you might not need it in your current role, but in a future role, it might be really important. And it's just important to be aware of what's happening.
Yeah, because when you get to the point when you need it, you know, you don't want to be flailing around.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Sort of, oh gosh, we've got to catch up.
Yeah, yes.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, somebody I was interviewing the other day was saying, yeah, being aware enough that you can adapt very quickly is the kind of is your responsibility basically.
Yeah. Definitely. We actually had a client event the other day, like a roundtable discussion, and AI was one of our questions because we have a tool. And it came up and most of the people around the table were like, oh yeah, last year was a really big thing. But, you know, it's we're just exploring it now and we're not really using it. And actually, I found that really reassuring, because I was like, everyone is kind of in the same place as well. But everyone around the table was like, I am making it a priority that I understand it and how I can use it in, you know, small ways to grow into more supportive ways in the future. So
yeah, and I think it feels to me like you know, the conversation's moved on a bit rather than, you know, from AI through to okay, this is what this tool can do, this is what this tool can do.
Yeah, just more sensible now.
Yeah, yeah, and it's almost, you know, we've stopped talking about, you know, like in the old days we stopped talking about digital, you know. Now we're stopping talking about AI and we're starting to talk about, okay, there's this thing, you know, generative AI or whatever, you know, that we can actually start to have a serious conversation about.
Yeah, definitely. Grown-up conversation.
Yeah. anything else that's sort of, you know, that you're looking at and saying, yeah, we can pick up on that, or that you're hearing from clients?
I think the other thing for us, which again, it's been around for forever, and people talk about it, but, you know, ABM, account-based marketing, again, as I said, we are a tool where we know who our audience are. We have a specific audience. And I think sometimes, especially for me in my regions, it's been about a lot of times that we have been trying to build brand awareness of who we are. Not so much UK, but when you go to Germany or Northern Europe or Australia, you know, we're not as well known. However, I really want to get my team really focused on ABM now, and really talking to the right audience and knowing when to talk to that audience. So I mentioned it before about those intent signals. We are delving a lot deeper into that and really trying to, again, use the data, refine the right buying team, and just talk to that audience, because that's what makes sense. But understanding for each of our different verticals and those organizations, what are those touch points that we should be having? How can we work really closely with our sales team, our outbound team, partnerships team, strategy, to then really kind of wrap our arms around these prospects and make sure that we're talking to them in the way they want to be talked to, and also supporting them through that journey with Movable Link.
Kirsty, thanks so much. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome.
The Business of Marketing podcast is brought to you by Demand Exchange. Demand Exchange provides the technology, content, and expertise to identify and acquire your next ideal customer.